Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hey, welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the 28th day of September, 2020. Eric the Tech, it's Monday. How are you? How was your weekend?
It was good.
What'd you do? Got to ask you.
Can't tell you.
I know it's a deep, dark secret. No, seriously. Folks, thanks to you, your support, we've been working behind the scenes doing a lot of heavy-duty research, not quite yet ready for prime time. You want to get an idea of what we've been doing? Perhaps the closest and most sobering thing Glenn Beck did is Civil War 2020. There's a video. I'll put it in the program description box, the link to it. It lays out what we're finding. And what we're finding, too, is a direct link to Barry Satoro, Bathhouse Barry, Barack Hussein Obama, you know, the guy whose regime had no scandals whatsoever, Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, Lois Lerner, you know, that guy. Meanwhile, so thank you. Thank you so much for supporting this organization. Again, I meant to really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Because without that support, we couldn't do what we're doing right now. And we've turned some information over. I've got to tell you, we've turned some information over to some pretty important people, okay? You're going to see some things come out. And we also have been doing some other on the ground, boots on the ground stuff as well. In the, that's boots on the ground too. It's just electronic, a lot of electronic work. Record retrieval, sometimes physical record retrievals and such. However, another aspect of what we're doing has to do with our line of coffee. Support us through HagmanStore.com. There you can buy some great coffee, gourmet coffee. You've got Detective's Choice, which is my go-to, hyper-caffeinated, in whole bean, ground, or K-cups. Same with Patriot and Revolution blends. Try some. I think you'll like it. Proceeds go to fund operations such as Craig Sawyer's group. Yes, Craig Sawyer. Yes, Rust Izdar. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Those two groups. And I want to say thank you to them because they do a great job. Also, so HagmanStore.com, HagmanReportLive.com for video and audio, and also HagmanReport.com for print and other. When I feel something is extremely important or if I want to write something, that's where it's going to be, HagmanReport.com. Okay, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has officially informed the Democratic Party caucus, okay, that the House could decide the presidential election, and has urged them to focus on winning races that could decide the outcome. This is their strategy. This is being reported by Breitbart today. I'm not going to get into it. You can read it if it's, I don't know if it's still up, as at this hour or not. Now we also have, of course, the Donald Trump's tax returns being, published by the New York Times. Okay. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think those are his tax returns? Do you think that the information that was given or that was published is accurate? Do you really think that Donald Trump personally paid $750 in taxes? That's the story. Eric the Tech, you paid more than $750 in taxes and income taxes last year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, all of us did.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, okay. But then no mention, of course, about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's pay to play scheme and such. Also, James O'Keefe strikes again. Ilhan Omar. You talked about the most, in my view, the most corrupt Congress critter in the country. I can't even describe. If you did, folks, if you haven't seen the video, which is outright in your face, F you, it doesn't matter, you can't touch me. Criminal behavior by Omar's staff, actually by her family. You got to kind of squint when I say that. You know, kind of like the brother thing, you have to squint. Yeah. Okay. That's on my radar, our radar as well. I'm telling you, there's some really, really bad stuff going on this hour. And next hour, I'm going to be joined by John Moore. We're going to have a discussion about how things are, what we need to be focused upon, and what we need to do about it. But first, I want to tell you about Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagman. You know, I don't endorse any product that I don't use myself or I don't believe in. They've helped me personally, help members of my family out. Lightstream.com/Hagman in credit card consolidation debt. Sometimes, you know, as a business or when you're personally, you get credit card debt and you get 3, 4, 5 cards, whatever. I don't know. However many cards you have, and you look at the rates on the statements and you're paying, oh my goodness, you're paying a whole bunch of interest. Well, you don't need to be an expert to know that consolidating credit card debt into one low fixed rate can save you money. You can start saving today with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream's fixed rate credit card consolidation loans start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit, lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. The application is 100% online, and you can even get the money, your money, as soon as the same day that you apply. Here's how to take advantage of this fine offer, folks. And I got to tell you, my wife's niece did this. I have a subcontractor who did this on a personal basis. I know a owner of a small, I don't want to say convenience store, it's kind of it's a specialty store that did this. The only way that you can save even more with an additional interest rate discount, listen to what I'm going to tell you to do. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman, LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. Folks, you will. On video, handsome as ever, handsome devil, John J. Moore. John Moore. TheLibertyMan.com. Seriously, John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. The web presence of Mr. John Moore is at TheLibertyMan.com. Folks, he has a 3-hour-a-day program. And I'll tell you something. It's worth a listen or 5. That's right. There it is right there on your screen. Go to TheLibertyMan.com, click on the link, and then drill down for archives as well. If you scroll down, if you're really good and you scroll down, you can get articles and information that you need to have. And if you really want to, well, get into his personal life, you can actually see his British automobile. That's right. With his bonnet and windscreen. All right. John Moore, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, Doug. How are you doing?
I don't know. Don't know. How you? I mean, seriously. I you know what? I look at the news. John, I mean, seriously. What are we going to do, man? Do I need to drive out there, pick you up, and we got to go kick some butt? I mean, drive around the country, kick some butt? I mean, is that what we need to do? Do I need to? I mean, what do we need, you and I need to do? Because I'm not going to take this anymore, man. I'm as angry as I was last week, even angrier. A week angrier. We got, what, 38 days to the election? something like that?
That sounds about right. You know, I think 5 weeks from tomorrow. It'll be here pretty quick.
Maybe you and I should, I'll tell you what, maybe you and I should run a bus, collect the names of the guys and people who want to join us on this, you know, on a, I don't know, kick butt kind of thing. and you know, I'll be driving the bus. Eric said, no, let John drive. And we'll be picking up people on the way, you know. What do you think? I mean, let's do something, brother. We got to do something. So it's
all. No, we're doing it right now. We're talking to tens of thousands of people and letting them know that they need to be aware. You know, I do a prepper tip of the day, Doug, every day. And today the prepper tip was to evaluate your plan A, evaluate your plan B, evaluate your plan C. Details. There's going to be things overlooked.
Yeah.
And people need to be aware of that. They need to make their plans now. If you live in or near a major urban suburban area, you're at great risk. The time to leave has come and gone. So hunkering down makes sense. Avoiding these protests makes sense. If you have a business that's at risk, it's a tough decision. Most of the time, insurance won't cover damage due to civil disorder. It simply does not. Some policies do, most don't. If you have a business at risk, you need to make sure that what you've got for coverage so you can make a decision to stay or leave. Putting your life at risk is a very serious matter. And if you decide to defend your business, you're definitely putting your life at risk. I go back to the Korean businessmen in the LA riots. They successfully defended their businesses against the rioters.
Yep.
Which was also, in many cases, their homes as well.
Yep.
And of course, they knew what was in their insurance policy. If your insurance policy gives you full coverage, why would you risk your life if you're going to get full coverage?
I tell you what, John, based on principle, why risk my life? You know what? Here's the way I look at it. All right. If I have a business, a brick and mortar business, which, I mean, I do. I got a studio. Eric's got a studio. We have a lot of sweat equity in this business. We have a lot of memories built in this business. I'll be damned if some pipsqueak maggot is going to come over here and set my business on fire. I'll sit out there with an AR-15. And you know what? Don't even go there, folks, about, well, you really suck as a Christian. Well, maybe I do. Okay, but I'll tell you what, no one's going to rob me of my sweat equity. No one's going to rob me of my memories. No one's going to terrorize my family. And no one's going to tell me I can't protect my business. However, if you're saying back off because it's only property, you know, there is an argument to be made there. I'll give you that. I'm going to wrestle with you a little bit.
It's a personal decision, but people need to be fully informed when they're making that decision. And I, you know, I'm on board with you, Doug, about defending my property as well. And, but it's a personal decision and people can't make a fully informed decision unless they know what's written in that insurance policy. They really can't. So that's a very foundational thing for everybody to do.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. Right. I'll just say this. The way it sounds, drop my watch here. Just kidding. The way it sounds is like, well, if I have insurance, I'm not going to take care of business, but you have to factor in everything, including but not limited to what coverage you have and decide how much you have vested and invested. And then, you know, things are business, well, right? I mean,
I can give you some personal examples. So during the Ferguson riots, I had, live reports from men who lived there. Their homes were in Ferguson. And what the family decision was for these two men, plus my friend Command Sergeant Major Page, who was on duty there, the dads evacuated the women and children, and they stayed behind to protect the family, largest family asset, which, of course, was the family home, which they knew would not be covered if there was damage due to civil disorder. And that was their decision. So, and I'm sure that many other families would be making similar decisions, as we move forward into 5 weeks from tomorrow. The consensus among the people you and I work with, Doug, which would be, you know, Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle and Mike Adams and so forth. Consensus is the day after the election is when all hell's going to break loose. And I've seen very little evidence to contradict that. Have you?
No, I haven't either. And I, you know what? I defer to you folks about that. Because we're looking at this from a different perspective. Our research is going, at least here, our investigation is looking at identifying the perpetrators of, or I'm sorry, the facilitators behind the perpetrators of the violence. But not by facilitators, I'm talking about the hierarchy. There is a hierarchy there. And so that's what we're looking at. But no, I defer to you. I believe it the day after. But I think it's going to be a multifaceted attack against us. I think Pelosi, as I said, is going to come out and say, Biden won, or we have to wait and see who won. Something's going to happen in D.C. on the political level. And then, So.
Well, I don't believe the Electoral College has their vote until mid-December. I don't recall the date, but I believe it's mid-December, about 6 weeks or so after the general population votes. We don't know what Pelosi is going to do. The statements she's made are very alarming and very disturbing. This is not just anybody. This is the Speaker of the House.
Right.
And we need to take what she says very seriously. People have these 5 weeks to make whatever preparations they can, Doug. It'll be different things for different people. But time's wasting. Time's absolutely wasting. My Monday guest, Sam Andrews, he has a student over the weekend who bought 1,000 rounds of reloads at a gun show and had multiple malfunctions and disabled 2 firearms with these defective reloads.
I prefer, for example, but you said a gun show you went to?
Right.
Okay.
No, it wasn't me. It was one of Sam Andrews' students.
Right.
At his.
Okay. I prefer to go to a local gun shop and buy like federal ammunition or name brand ammunition.
Right.
But man, it's getting mighty expensive if you can find it.
If you can find it. I wouldn't buy reloads unless I knew the person who manufactured it. I've had issues in the past with reloaded ammunition. But that's kind of a side issue. The main issue being people have 5 weeks to get ready for the bona fide, full-blown communist insurrection. And I agree with you, Doug. It will be asymmetric. It will be multiple attacks on multiple parts of our culture, our society, our infrastructure. The communists are desperate. This matter with Ginsburg, which happened since you and I talked last, it's a game changer. And I fully expect Clarence Thomas to resign soon. He's made statements to the effect he's ready to move on with his life. He's probably the best judge we've got up there, quite frankly. But I expect him to resign soon and retire. And I'll give President Trump another appointment. Justice Roberts needs to be gone. Hopefully he'll be gone soon. I haven't heard anything one way or the other that he would. But he's certainly not a conservative, not on our side. But this is one of all these federal appointments that the president's making with these judgeships is changing things for decades into the future. It's not just the Supreme Court. It's more than 100 federal district court appointments that is a big game changer. And the communists know this. They know they know they're going to lose big at the polls, despite all the fraud and ballot stealing that will be going on. President Trump will be elected overwhelmingly nationwide. They know that. They know they've lost any hope of peacefully taking over our country. So what's left? Well, what's left is violence. That's what they're going to begin doing in earnest the day after the election, I believe, Doug.
Yeah, I I think so as well. Do you believe, for example, you don't believe any of the polls, right? That we're seeing.
Oh no.
Okay.
They're a bunch of silliness.
Go back to 2016 and see how that worked out. Do you believe we're gonna retake the House and keep the Senate? Do you think we're going to lose the Senate, lose the House? I mean, what about the House and Senate? What's your feeling there?
Well, I'm not sure I can make any kind of accurate prediction. I have every reason to believe we will maintain a majority in the Senate. Wouldn't take too many. I'm not sure what the numbers are to flip over the House and have it become Republican once again. That would certainly give the president what he needs to accomplish even bigger and better things the next 4 years.
You know, control. And I hear people say, well, you had the House and Senate for two of the four. But you know, you also take a look at the composition of the Republican or rhinos, you know, Paul Ryan. Go ahead.
Well, I agree, Doug. But those first 2 years, the president was consumed, I believe, with identifying the people in the agencies that he was control of, the executive branch agencies that needed to be gone, and replacing with people he trusted. That consumed most of those first 2 years, I believe. They were paralyzing him at every step of the way. And there's still plenty of what we call in special forces stay behind. A stay behind is a soldier who stays behind when the army has apparently left town and withdrawn. And that's what we got in these executive branch agencies, is hundreds of stay behinds, men and women who were appointed by two Bushes, one Clinton, one Obama, who do not have the best interests of the country at heart. They are, in fact, deep state actors. And that's still an issue. Not as big as it was the first 2 years, but it's still an issue, Doug.
No, I agree. When's the Supreme Court supposed to begin? And this is a legitimate
question. Their next session? I'm not sure when the next session is.
But I mean, no. The confirmation. Let me rephrase that. When is the confirmation hearings? When do the confirmation hearings with the Senate start with, for Amy Coney Barrett?
I would suspect they would begin one day next week.
Okay.
I don't see any reason to delay them. I've also heard the Democrats are going to just boycott because they know they're going to lose anyway. And this is their hissy fit to, make their statement. It's not even show up for the hearings.
You know, she was vetted in 2017. I don't know how many people remember that. So, you know, what the heck? I can't imagine anything new in the last 2 years that's come up. So
no.
It should be a pretty easy shoo-in with respect to that. Okay. Okay. All right. So yeah, I guess ours is now to prepare. And folks, you can listen to John Moore on go ahead. John.
Republic Broadcasting Network.
Thank you. I keep wanting to say Republic Broadcasting Network. and I apologize for that, Monday through Friday. Go to LibertyMan.com and of course, tune in. So I'm going to toss it to you. Prepare. Yeah, it bumps ahead. Yeah, the day after election. I just wake up in the morning sometimes, like this morning, I'm thinking, you know, I'm missing something. There's something I'm missing. Well, maybe you can tell me what it is.
You need food, obviously. You need water. Figure 2 gallons per person per day minimum for at least a month. I would store up, if you can safely store up fuel, I would have at least 10 gallons of fuel. That would be about half a tank. Make sure it's stored safely, that you put a good quality fuel preservative in it, stabilizer. I am an Amsoil dealer, and Amsoil makes an excellent fuel stabilizer. There's others out there that are good as well. But it's critical that the fuel be stored safely because it is so, you know, explosive and flammable. So, yes, obviously medical supplies, ammunition if you've got firearms. If you don't have firearms, it's good luck finding anything that's worthwhile buying at a decent price. that time has come and gone. If you are a first-time firearms owner in the last few weeks and months, I would encourage you to get professional training so you can safely and properly use that firearm. Concealed carry training is a good idea because you'll learn what the laws are in your state for proper use of deadly force. Most people sign up for these classes, Doug. They think, well, I'm going to go learn how to shoot. Well, the firearms training part of it is very minimal. And a very small part of the overall training. The main part of the training, as far as most instructors are concerned, is proper use of deadly force. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's the difference between going to jail and getting a pat on the back from the chief of police. You need to know about the proper use of deadly force before you carry a firearm of any kind and use it for anything serious.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I mean, those are the basics. I shouldn't say basics. Those are the requirements, I suspect. Food, water, you know, of course, heat, fire.
And why to stay warm when there's no electricity? That's a big deal.
I was thinking about that today, too. You know, here we are. It's not even October, and it looks like fall is coming early to the middle Atlantic. So if you live up in, tundra, that is Pennsylvania, especially northwest Pennsylvania, you might want to think about having an alternative heat source. And of course, you know, when you do use long-term storable food, you need to heat the water as well. So,
right.
Yeah. So, that's an important thing to get into. Okay. But again, I feel like I'm missing something, not in preparation. I don't know. I'm kind of, John, you've worked, cases. And you look over a case and you think you got it all wrapped up, and there's always something that you might have forgotten or something you might have missed. That's the way I feel right now, and I just don't know what it is. And I don't know if it's, you know, from the enemy's camp or, you know, when I say the enemy's camp, I'm talking about the...
Well, something we haven't discussed, Doug, is spiritual preparation. The single most important thing anybody can do is a spiritual preparation. And ultimately, we talk about the communist insurgency and so forth. Ultimately, it is a spiritual war. And it is so foundational and so important that people understand the true nature of what we're up against evil here. And it's a spiritual war. We have to understand that and be ready to face it for what it is and be spiritually prepared to deal with this. The communists are atheists, and they hate us. They hate us Christians. They hate our liberty. They hate our freedom, and they hate us for being Christians. And they fully intend to destroy us. The communist goal, the Chinese communist, is to conquer the United States and not have any Americans here. They intend to execute every one of us. Not going to be any prisoners. This will be a no-prisoner war once this thing gets going. Our mutual friend Dave Hodges wrote an excellent article on that in the last yesterday, I believe, about the communist invasion. Mike Adams, yesterday or today, wrote an excellent article about how the government has been doing great work determining who the Antifa Black Lives Matter men and women are, finding out all their connections, especially to the multimillionaires and billionaires that are funding and the corporations funding Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And Mike Adams' belief is that there will be an insurrection declared, and all these actors, including the Fortune 500 companies funding Antifa and Black Lives Matter, that they're all going to be arrested. That's Mike's belief, and I hope he's right. What about you, Doug?
I hope so. That's the only thing I can say is I hope so. I don't think there's going to be any meaningful prosecutions of anyone at any level at any imminent time, unless, of course, it is like you or I, a conservative, especially Christian conservatives. You know, look at what we're seeing. What are we seeing? Arrests at churches for what? For having outdoor services, being standing too close together, indoor services, singing, whatever it might be. You can't open your church.
Right.
You know, if we can't, in my view, if we can't get a handle on that, and I know that that's at the local or, you know, county or state level. I get that. But I think it all works together. And I think that, we are so infiltrated. I don't see anything coming. I don't see any pushback against the BLM Antifa funders because here's where it's going to lead. It's going to lead to Barack Hussein Obama, in my view. It's not Soros. I mean, it is Soros, but not only Soros. It's Obama. It's, people around Obama. It's, the Steyers of the world. And people like that. It's the corporations like, for example, Gates. and others who are funding this. And that's what we're seeing. I can't prove it. That's what I believe. It sure looks that way. It's kind of like you go to a homicide, or, you know, you go to a homicide. If you're looking at a blood spatter and you see an absence of blood spatter in the shape of a torso. You know, somebody was standing there to block that spatter. You know, to be looking around for somebody right. with a whole lot of blood on the front. You know what I'm saying? So right. that's kind of where I'm at. So I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, Doug, there's already been what I would consider strong evidence, evidence that could be presented in court that both Biden and Obama were up to their eyeballs in the Trump, Russia, false investigation that was taking place.
Sure.
That's already been demonstrated. It satisfies me anyway, what I've seen. Getting back to spiritual preparation, people need to make that a daily part of their life. They really do. Yep. And once they do, and they become comfortable with it, they should do it on a daily basis every day the rest of their life. That's spiritual preparation. We are truly up against forces of evil, forces of darkness here, Doug. There's no doubt in my mind that we are.
You know, and we have to fight. The only way we can fight forces of darkness, in my view, obviously, is with like weaponry, which would be the forces of God and of Jesus Christ and of Christian principles and ideology. With prayer, I like to say, I'll pray as I'm reloading. Okay. Because I think too, I do believe that we have a duty as well let me ask you about this, because I believe that this nation was founded on Christian principles. Some will say, well, no, the founding fathers were deists or whatever. And that's bunk. If you really look at their writings, it's bunk. I believe that they were Christians. They believed in Jesus Christ. I don't know what's in, I can't tell what's in their heart. I can look at their writings and tell. But right. Here's the thing. I believe if you are a Christian and you are going to defend your family, you also have a spiritual responsibility to protect your country, given the fact that it was founded upon based on Christian principles. Your thoughts and your comments.
Well, if you're defending your family, theoretically, you should also be defending your community, your township, and your county. There's more than 3,000 counties in the United States, Doug, with most of those 3,300 counties having elected sheriffs, or probably 200 or 300 that don't. I don't know the exact number. It doesn't matter. But that's what defending this country is going to mean, defending it at the township and county level. That's what it's going to mean for most of us. That's where we are, Doug. And, we can't have any direct impact on places that are remote from where we are physically. Not very easily anyway.
No.
So. I encourage people to, if they don't know their local sheriff, to meet with the local sheriff and find out if the sheriff intends to defend his or her county. There's probably some female sheriffs around the country. Defend their county against the Black Lives Matter Antifa people and find out if they need help. Is there a sheriff's auxiliary? Is he going to activate the county militia? The county militia being all men and women, healthy men and women between 18 and 60 years old. That's the county militia by statute in almost all the 50 states, as far as I know. And if he is activating the militia, you might need to consider becoming part of that militia to help defend your community against the forces of darkness, the forces of evil. It's not too late to do that. It's not too late to do that at all, Doug.
I agree.
We have sheriffs here in Missouri that are already doing it. They're reaching out to their militia members in their county, men and women that they've known for years and years. They could be current or former police officers, current or former military people, or just guys and gals with skill sets that would be helpful, anything from cooks to mechanics. You're going to need everything if this thing goes hot, Doug, everything.
I think it will go hot. You know, yeah, but you're right in this respect and talking about this. You're absolutely right. What's on the libertyman.com website in terms of news, stuff that we should be looking at? Well, you know, you post.
We have an update. We have a daily update mm-hmm. on the right at the top, the daily intelligence briefing. Open source intelligence. Doug, you know, in our mutual careers, we meet interesting people that you would typically, other people would read about in a Tom Clancy novel or watching a Tom Clancy movie. Daily intelligence briefing is put together by a friend of mine. I'm looking at it right now on a daily basis. He's a former counterintelligence agent. He's now retired. He has a PhD, very bright guy. And I'm going to click on it here and we'll see the headlines for all over the world. We start out with the American economy. Then we go to the Americas, which would be North and South America. Scroll down to Israel, Judea, Samaria, Africa, then Eurasia, bunch of articles, the Baltics, and so forth. You don't necessarily need to read all of them. You might be interested in, say, Lithuania, where your grandparents came from, for example. Or you might be interested in Africa for whatever reason. Maybe you spent some time there as a soldier or as an exchange student. Whatever your part of the world you're interested in, you can read up on it. Every 24 hours, it's updated. So it's a great place to stay current, Doug. It's right there at my website, at thelibertyman.com. And I need to emphasize that people use their browser. They don't use a search engine. We've got people ended up at thelibertyman.net, which is for event planners only. And they wonder why they can't find anything, because they're not an event planner, obviously. So it's thelibertyman.com directly in the browser to get you to my website very efficiently.
All right. Now what?
Now what? Well, you're asking about my website. We have down near the bottom, I'll scroll down there, list of videos and articles both. It says, well, let's see, latest headlines from, no, we don't want that. You see, I don't look at this every day myself. We have a links page, which is good. It could be better. And let's see, embedded at the bottom right hand side, embedded videos you may find informative and are entertaining. And then right next to that, hundreds of free downloads. We've got hundreds of books and manuals. Most of them are military publications, everything from canning to how to repair your M35 truck, which is also known as a deuce and a half. Mm-hmm. All kinds of hundreds of manuals there that people can download and print out.
That's what I was kind of looking for, that. You've got a lot of great information, a lot of great resources at thelibertyman.com. I'm glad you mentioned that, because people need to take advantage of that. And you really do.
My show last week was censored by YouTube, by the way, for violation of community standards.
Which show was that? Because I got
a week ago today.
Yep.
Email a week ago today. I had Sam Andrews on the second hour and the second and third hour. And I haven't looked into it yet to inquire about what allegedly violated community standards with YouTube. I'll do that soon, but it hasn't happened yet.
Good luck with that, by the way. You're not going to find anything. They're not going to tell you.
Well, that happened to me 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And I did challenge it, and they reversed their finding. But it's been a long time since I've had to deal with this.
Yeah, it's they will. It's interesting. I'm not sure if you spoke about the coronavirus, if you did, or
hydroxychloroquine.
That. Thank you. What he said.
I don't recall, because you know these days kind of run together after a while.
Yep.
We do some. You know, I'm doing 15 hours of radio a day plus your 2 hours.
5 hours.
So I don't recall specifically what we talked about. But I'll make the inquiry and find out and maybe they'll reverse and I'll get it back up. I need to look into a different platform. Maybe Mike Adams, Brighteon might be an alternative, just to have something on standby in case YouTube pulls me completely.
Yeah, folks, John Moore does. In fact, it was kind of interesting last week. on one of the comments on our channel, having a chat like this, the commenter says, hey, John Morrow's got a YouTube channel, and posted your YouTube channel there. So maybe that could have had something to do with it. Anyway.
I don't know. Well, I got 19,000 subscribers to my YouTube channel, and, people like to use YouTube. It's just popular, and they like using it.
Yeah.
And when my shows are posted on YouTube, we, delete the commercials. So people like that feature also.
Yeah, we do too. We, of course, you know, this is spread on an audio platform, and there's network, top of the hour network news. Sometimes we blow right through that. Most of the time we blow through that. Not often. Well, I shouldn't say. It's depends. But that's on YouTube, we take that out. So, you know, that's good. Did you happen to see Project, I want to ask you about this. Did you see Project Veritas, Ilhan Omar? Did you see that, cluster?
I have not yet. I like their work and I've seen a lot of it, but I have not seen that. Was it more undercover video?
Yeah. Project Veritas. Okay. What happened was this. Project Veritas went into, to document the ballot harvesting in the campaign of Ilhan Omar. And, they revealed this scheme involving Klan and political allies and associates of Omar. Okay. This is, in fact, they released the first of a series of reports, and central to this specific report this time is a guy by the name of Omar Jamal. Now, he's a political insider. He's active within the Somali community in, Minneapolis, St. Paul area.
Right.
He works, Jamal works with the Ramsey County Sheriff Department. He's the chairman of the Somali Watchdog Group. Okay. So when he gave a statement, I'm going to just get this correct. He said, I can't believe the rampant corruption. I'm paraphrasing, of course, and I'm not getting it up here, but man, yeah, Veritas really exposed the money behind the ballot harvesting as well. Absentee ballots, a Somali, guy from Somalia said, look, I mean, on camera, like 300 ballots in this car. Here, these are all my absentee ballots. Look, my car is full. Money is the king of everything, he said. And his name, of course, is Liban Mohammed. Okay, now, so the watchdog gentleman is saying, hey, this is, you know, we can't have this. So this Liban Mohammed said, yeah, money's everything. And, of course, we're collecting ballots and we're paying people off and we're getting paid.
Right,
and,
you know, right.
Yeah. So, and President Trump's aware of this now. And he wants to do, you know, he said, we can't have this. So just saying, but go ahead.
Because there was a viable candidate running against, Omar, Ilhan, whatever her name is.
Yeah. Omar. Ilhan Omar. Yep.
Yeah. Right. And maybe this will help get that person elected and take that woman's place. That would be a good thing.
Recall arresting the people, including but not limited to the candidate herself or the person in office herself, because we can't have this. But see, we're going to see this on a larger scale, I believe, on election day. So, you know, how's this going to work out for us? I mean, we're going to have to be prepared. We can't have this. There's no way we should allow mail-in ballots. I mean, we should, to the extent that they're talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, absentee ballots are safe and secure, but these mail-in ballots are not, and it's foolish to believe otherwise. They won't be successful, Doug. They'll do as much as they can to have a fraudulent election, but they won't be successful, Doug.
Do you think, I mean, I know that you're in touch and you're on par with, on the same wavelength with, Mike Adams and Dave Hodges and such. Do you think that, we're going to see a situation where on election day, Biden won't concede? Even if
I see it as a possibility, and Hillary Clinton certainly publicly asked him to not concede. So I see it as a definite possibility. Yes, absolutely.
It's a nightmare. What do you think President Trump should do if that does happen? I mean, because I can see this going south really quickly.
Absolutely. Well, the president's known to make all kinds of bellicose statements, but when it comes to actually taking action, he stays within the confines of the law. And in this case, he may have to have a court ruling, maybe a federal district court. I'm not sure they can do a Supreme Court ruling that quickly, but a federal district court ordering the termination of ballot counting after a certain point. Whatever he does, it'll be creative, it'll be unusual, it'll be unique, and it will be a stand-up scrutiny as far as the law is concerned.
Okay. Yeah, I do believe that. I believe that he is aware of the Constitution. And I think that might have been the situation to date. He's been adherent to the Constitution. And, when you start looking at the violence, for example, Portland or Seattle or wherever it might be, you've got to be aware of what your constitutional authority allows you to do as opposed to what you want to do. Me, I'd want to go there and grab the mayor by the neck. By the way, Lindsey Graham did appear on Sunday Morning Futures, and he laid out the timeline for the investigative process for Supreme Court nominee Judge Amy Coney Barrett. So Senate judiciary hearings are scheduled to begin, just so you know this, October 12th. Committee nomination likely October 22nd to Mitch McConnell. So they're looking at a 10-day period. October 12th, they start the confirmation process and move it to the Senate on October 22nd. So there it is. You know, it's over promise, under deliver sometimes from the Senate and from the House. So I don't know, but that's the schedule.
A lot of times, though. Yeah. A lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and folks, there
well, that's probably, that's just in the next 2 weeks, I'll be doing all that. So that's a little more than 2 weeks. So that's good. They're moving forward that quickly. Democrats don't have the numbers, so they will be a relatively quick confirmation. They'll have enough hearings so that they can say they had hearings, then they'll have a vote, then she'll be the next Supreme Court justice. End of story.
Right. All right. The other thing that was bothering me, and I wanted to, among other things, of course, the latest thing, which was the New York Times business with allegedly publishing Donald Trump's tax returns, or at least publishing excerpts or, I don't know, supplemental schedules of his tax returns. They're attempting to make an issue of his real estate holdings, working as a tax shelter, and of course, reducing income taxes, which is completely, you're allowed to do. It's called tax avoidance, not tax evasion. But the New York Times.
Well, it's not avoiding. He's in compliance.
Well, yeah, but I mean, tax avoidance versus evasion, you know, I mean, believe me, I engage in tax avoidance all I can because I don't, you know, but tax evasion is criminal. Right. Avoidance is not. Go ahead.
Right. Well, chances are the president's tax returns run into dozens of pages. When I was in a residential real estate business myself back in the early to mid 80s, my tax returns were running, I think, 24, 25 pages. His are probably several times that long with all the different schedules that they may be hundreds of pages as far as that goes.
Sure.
Easily. There's over 10,000 pages, I believe, in the tax code. It's incredibly complex. It'll be not a non-issue. Once again, the media will attempt to make something out of this, and nothing's going to happen. The president won't be harmed. People will lose interest pretty quickly, and that'll be the end of it.
So do you think that all of this is Oh, I don't know, backfiring on the left.
Everything so far has.
Okay, so
the president's always 2-3 steps ahead of these people. Always 2-3 steps ahead of these people. It always backfires, and best I can tell, it always will backfire.
All right. I mean, the riots, it's certainly not winning friends and influencing people. I think people are getting sick and tired of that. I think people are getting sick and tired of Hollywood jerks taking a knee and doing much worse than that. They're getting sick and tired of all of this stuff.
We all are, Doug. Yeah. It's very, whole thing is right. This whole year of 2020 has been very tiresome in many respects. We've destroyed our economy. We've destroyed the lives of our children to a certain extent. The educational system is totally upside down and backwards. None of this needed to happen. Sweden didn't do any of those things. They didn't have the lockdowns and so forth. The schools are open. And their per capita death rate is lower than ours. So that's clear evidence that what we're doing wasn't necessary, and it's hurting a lot more people than it's helping. One of the benefits you may not be aware of, Doug, is a sudden infant death syndrome, also known as SIDS, is dramatically reduced. We believe because children aren't getting the vaccinations anymore. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Is okay. So why though? I mean, explain the. I get the relationship between SIDS and vaccinations.
Right.
Why aren't they getting vaccinations anymore? Is it because of the information that's getting out to people and saying, "Hey, this"?
I don't believe so. Doug.
So
no.
What's the reason?
It's not all that complex. And I believe the reason is people are waking up on their own, and they're answering these questions on their own.
They are becoming more aware of things, right?
Right. Well, a friend of mine told me 20 years ago when the internet was just getting going really strong, he says, "John, the New World Order will destroy the internet, or the internet will destroy the New World Order." As a paralegal, I'm trained to use a library in the classic discipline sense that libraries have been used for decades to find information. Most people don't have that training, outside of professional librarians in the reference section. You no longer need that skill set to find pretty much anything you want, Doug. And that's what's happening.
What do you mean when you say using it in the traditional sense? Because I think I know what you mean. Because I think
I mean walking. Okay, when you go into a library, a regular, and you're not using the internet. Not most libraries have the internet now. And you want to find information. There's two places you find it. One is magazine articles. The other is books. And the books are cataloged with a Dewey Decimal System. Say, for example, you want to know about Egyptian mummies. We go to the Dewey Decimal System. You can find all the books in that library with the Egyptian mummies. And then there's reference books for mainstream magazine and newspaper articles. That you can find all the magazine articles about Egyptian mummies. It's time-consuming, and it works. And if you're in a good-sized reference library, it's amazing what you can find and how quickly you can find it. I'll give you an example of an assignment I had, and it's not really all that on target, but it was kind of a fun thing. On a holiday weekend, a client, most of my clients were lawyers, Doug, a client calls me, and he says, "John, Monday was a holiday, it was a three-day holiday, a national holiday. He says, John, Tuesday, it was Friday afternoon, he says, Tuesday, I need to know the cost per copy to distribute the Midwest edition of the Wall Street Journal." And by Tuesday afternoon, I had that information for him. And there was no internet. This is back in the 70s. That's the kind of skill sets you and I have, Doug, that we've developed over the years, to be able to accomplish goals like that. And when I first got started as an investigator, I spent a lot of time in libraries using these traditional skill sets to find information. Usually if it was an investigation, it would be in the newspapers because it was local stuff. But There's reference books for the newspapers also that has everything cross-referenced by name and by topic.
Yep.
That's the traditional skills of using a library to do research.
And how many hours have we spent behind the microfilm machines looking at the newspapers?
Absolutely.
You know, historical.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you still have to do that. If you're a serious researcher, you still have to do that. There's a however coming. However, these days with the internet, if you know how to use the internet properly, you can find a lot of great information without ever having to set foot in a library. It doesn't obviate the need to do that, but it is no farther than most people go. Point being, Doug, the average person has never had this much access to great information ever on the planet. That's never happened before. There were debates in England. They were going to, I think it was in the 1840s, about the year doesn't matter. British government was preparing to open public libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And the debate at the time was, and this is among the elites, should we allow public libraries to even open?
Yep.
Because if the barefoot peasants find out what we're doing to them, they're going to revolt.
Yep.
Well, it turned out the barefoot peasants didn't find out because they just didn't. And it was never an issue. So the powers that be are very fearful of people having access to the information they have access to. Which is why there's so much subterfuge out there, so many dead ends, and things like QAnon, for example, where they say 85,000 sealed indictments are waiting to be released.
That's not true.
It was shut down the system. That's why I tell people, I said, that's a fantasy.
Right.
85,000 indictments would shut down the entire federal district court system and the Department of Justice. That's not going to happen. I use that as one example of the silliness that gets thrown out there to distract people from what's really going on.
Well, okay. Anything that gets people asking questions, I am in favor of. Okay. For example, if someone, I don't know. For example, 9/11. That's a huge topic. But if you say, hey, you know what, why don't you go check out, look at Building 7, for example, or research Building 7. Right. Do your own research. I guess anything that causes people to do their own research, I am in favor. I favor. However, if it causes you to become paralyzed by the analysis, what I call paralysis of analysis, or believing that someone else is going to handle the situation, then I don't think it's a good thing. And I think that's right. What we see here. Because, it's...
Well, 9/11 is worth talking about for a little bit. Most people these days, when they think they're doing research, they go to YouTube and they look up videos and they think they're doing research. There is some value there, but it's usually pretty limited. If I'm doing research using the internet, there's different places I'll go. One would be Amazon to find books that are written about the topic at hand.
Right.
Just because it's a book doesn't mean it's 100% accurate, but it's a good starting point, especially if it's a book that's well written with great footnotes going back to original source material. That's one of the things I look for. There's been multiple books written about 9/11/01. Dr. Judy Wood wrote one that I read it. I interviewed her. She believes that the damage was done by weapons, which we have no knowledge of them existing anywhere outside of a laboratory. It's kind of a rabbit trail, and people get focused on rabbit trails. The exact nature of the weapons is not all that relevant. We know airplanes could not do that damage. Kerosene can't melt structural steel. And ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know it.
Alone, right.
Alone. In case you don't know it, jet fuel is kerosene. That's all it is. And it can't melt structural steel. It would defy the laws of physics to do that. Knowing the exact type of explosives that did that, it's interesting. It's important, but it's not what the focus should be on. The focus should be on who was behind this. Doug, is it possible to trade millions of dollars of stocks on the New York Stock Exchange and not have a paper trail going back to the people who did this? Is that possible?
Not in the real world, no. But
it happened the days and weeks before 9/11. Millions of stocks were exchanged. People shorted. It's called shorting.
Right.
The three major airlines.
Right.
And there's never been a public. Somebody made tens of millions of dollars on those stock exchanges. And there's never been a public accounting for that I'm aware of. Has there, Doug?
No. Now, when you say, is it possible, they exist. They just. They've been destroyed, or they were. I believe that they. I know what you're referring to, and I believe that they did exist at one point. I don't know what happened to them, but you can't. How do you digitally trade something without verification, without a trail? I mean,
well, there has to be a trail. We would,
right. So it's wiped out.
We're used to saying a paper trail, but it's all digital these days.
Correct.
But there has to be an identifiable, traceable trail that the investigators, and the FBI has, I'm sure, men and women who are quite knowledgeable of how computers work and how to backtrack through a computer morass of exchanges to get to who made these changes, who made these trades ahead of time. They had prior knowledge that this was going to go down. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done that, Doug.
You know, and when people talk about 9/11, very rarely do I hear them talking about who benefited financially in terms of stock trades, like you were talking about. You hear a whole host of other issues being discussed, but rarely about the stock trades. So that's a very interesting concept. You know?
Well, if you and I talked about this before, about Mossad and their...
No, we have not. No.
Well,
and I'm sure we need to.
Well, okay. There is evidence that Mossad had knowledge of 9/11/01. There's no evidence, however, that they were part of it. And it's an important distinction. Israeli intelligence agency, the Mossad, has a worldwide reputation within the intelligence community of being an excellent world-class intelligence service, despite being so small and not having the funding of the United States or England or Russia and so forth.
Right.
I don't doubt at all that they had knowledge of it. You know, they may have even attempted warnings. And I mentioned this on one of my shows not too long ago. There was a female FBI agent up in, I believe, Minnesota, a field agent, who reported to her higher ups up the chain of command. There was this Muslim guy. He's taking lessons on how to take off an airplane and not how to land it. So she prepared the report, and it went up the chain of command. Nothing was done about it. And there was other similar reports by FBI agents around the country as well that strange things were taking place or being reported up the chain of command. Nothing was done about it. Going back to Mossad, I think they probably did know about it. Whether they attempted to warn anybody or not, I don't know that. We may never know that. But they could certainly see where that would benefit their cause of having the United States be a big adversary of their own enemies. And, of course, they would celebrate that.
Yeah.
Of course, they would celebrate that.
And is that where we get the reports of Jews dancing or people of Jewish descent dancing on or by a bridge? You hear about this. I don't know how many people have – seen it. Well, what about this group, caught dancing, rejoicing?
Well, that shows that they were happy about having the United States be an ally of theirs in this war against Islam. That's what it shows me. It doesn't show that they were part of it. It doesn't show that they were planning it. It doesn't show that they were part of the destruction of the Twin Towers. It shows that they had prior knowledge, just like members of our intelligence services had prior knowledge. I had knowledge of the Tet Offensive months before it happened. That was my job in military intelligence, was to know about things before they happened. So evidence of people celebrate an event is not evidence that they were part of the event. We need more.
Interesting.
We need more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, I get it. And I think if we apply the same, what we need to do is apply the same level of analysis, investigation, research to, today's events as we
I'll give you another. Don't you think Chiang Kai-shek was, pretty happy when, China attacked Korea? And that made, us an ally of Chiang Kai-shek.
You know,
don't you think that was, of course he was.
Yeah.
And he, and maybe, do you think there may have been in Chiang Kai-shek's, headquarters on Formosa? Do you think they may have been drinking some champagne, after the Chinese invaded, Korea? Boy, we got a big brother on our side now. They've attacked the United States. Of course they were drinking champagne. Of course they were.
You know, and this brings me to, you know, what I've been seeing here, part of a report here. In fact, I think this might have been, some of it might have been reported in the Washington Examiner, but you've got the Bidens, okay? Joe Biden, of course, is could very well be the next president of the United States, okay? He's a candidate. He could be. We'll see. But the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Finance, I don't know whether you saw this or not, they raised some questions about some unethical foreign profiteering by members of the Biden family. Not the campaign, but the family itself. In particular, Joe Biden, as vice president, his son, or while he was vice president, his son Hunter received a just a remarkable amount of money from foreign entities, including Communist China, the government of Communist China. Now, on at least one occasion, Joe Biden appears to have directly facilitated one of those transactions. So, my question is, why aren't we looking at this? Why is it okay to look at supposedly President Donald Trump's tax returns and say, oh, how horrible that is without understanding the, you know, the—
Well, Doug, that's what's taking place in the public venue.
Right.
We hope that the Department of Justice is carefully looking at the matters that you're mentioning. We don't know because that's obviously taking place behind closed doors. The president's tax returns is something that's been done publicly, not involving the Department of Justice. And it's interesting, but it will blow over. People aren't going to be all that concerned about it.
Well, wait a second, though. Now, let me challenge you on this, because why haven't we seen people go down for what's known as Russiagate, the Obama hoax, the Russian hoax? We saw Kleinsmith be charged, but no one else.
Right.
So if they're doing it behind closed doors, I mean, if there is indeed an investigation that's taking place, Bill Barr certainly is taking his good old time. Durham certainly is not rising to the occasion. There was a statement made by Barr saying we're not going to, there won't be any charges, indictments of any consequence before the election. He made that statement this past week.
Well,
so what the heck? What are they doing?
Well, it's I have no need or desire to defend the Department of Justice or be an apologist for them at all. I will say I have hope that John Durham has a reputation of being a bulldog of a prosecutor. That's his reputation, and that's built up over decades. I have a hope that that reputation will continue, that the indictments will come out. I doubt we'll see the former Secretary of State, the former president, the former head of the CIA, maybe not even the former head of the FBI, indicted on one hand. On the other, I think many people around them, Valerie Jarrett is up to this in her eyeballs.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe after the election, they would feel more comfortable going after Joe Biden. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons not to go after a former Secretary of State and a former president for political reasons, for our standing in the world. But all the minions that surround him at very high levels, they're fair game, in my opinion. Valerie Jarrett is at the top of the list, the communist Muslim who actually ran the country while the president was playing golf.
Yeah.
You can't play, you know, CEO of a Fortune 500 company would be fired if he played golf as much as Obama did when he was president. You know, the board of directors would replace him in a heartbeat. Valerie Jarrett is back with Obama, never left his side, at that very nice, very large structure, home, if you will, office building. What is it? Less than a mile from the White House. And they're working diligently 50, 60 hours a week to destroy our country by every which way you can imagine. So I'm hoping that Durham will be diligent, will continue with his reputation of being a bulldog prosecutor. No, I'm not happy at all, just like you're not happy, with the lack of indictments. I'm not happy about that at all. But I have hope that he will be the man he's always been for these decades, be the bulldog prosecutor, and have excellent trial preparation. When they issue indictments, the trial preparation is already done. And I've seen these three-ring binders that the FBI puts together, Department of Justice. They're very slick, very, very well done, very professional. And I'm hoping that they're being put together as we speak, Doug.
Do you have faith in Ray? Christopher Ray as FBI director? Do you have any faith in him at all?
I don't know enough about Christopher Ray to really comment on it one way or the other, other than President Trump picked this guy. And hopefully the president did his due diligence to put in a man of honor and of courage to break down what needs to be broken down in the FBI, which has been in play for so many decades. It got to the point where you couldn't even trust the FBI laboratory anymore because they were falsifying evidence.
And remember that? That was, what, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I think?
Yeah, it's been
like
a
that.
Long time ago. Yeah. And that was one of the more foundational things in law enforcement nationwide. Yep. You could always count on the FBI laboratory to be true blue and yep. not make stuff up. But even that was gone.
Yep.
So hopefully Christopher Wray will be what's necessary to clean house there. I've known, I'm sure you've known also, young FBI agents that were just as patriotic and honest as the day is long, but they were stuck with the bureaucracy above them.
Yeah, I worked with a couple. You know, when you're, and I don't know how many people know this, but if you work with the FBI as a operational asset, you're assigned a handler. That's what they call them, handlers.
And, right.
You know, so yeah, I've seen a lot of rank and file members very disgusted with, you know, the special agents in charge of the field offices. And from, I mean, even at that level, there's a level of frustration because of the bureaucracy. So, you know, if you've got, I don't know, however many 60, field offices or I can't remember how many there are, but, so even at that level, that's a problem, you know, so, anyway, yeah. But
well,
you know,
there's a lot of field offices. Some of those field offices only have two or three agents. There's lots of field offices. And,
yep.
And, yeah. So I hope that Christopher Wray is up to the task of getting rid of the deep state operatives that are inhabiting the FBI, as well as the other executive agencies that have been filled up top to bottom, left to right, for decades with deep state people, and in the case of Obama, Muslim communists.
Well,
they need to be gone first. The deep state people are bad, but the communist Muslims are traitors.
Yeah, 100%. Well, getting back just very briefly, there is some, I don't know, push and pull between, Ray and the White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows. I don't know whether you saw this, but they have dissenting views about mail-in ballots. Okay. So, Mark Meadows, he was on Face the Nation yesterday, said he's not pleased with Christopher Wray, his assertion that everything is fine, that there's not a problem here. There's no voting fraud when in fact there is. So, you know, there is some, there's some animus there. So I'm looking at Wray and I'm thinking, you know, why is he still there? You know, but then I can imagine, the outrage if Donald Trump would replace him. And then we have the problem with, you know, who are you going to replace
him?
Well,
he's made those first 12 months, 18 months of the president's, term was absolutely volatile.
Yeah.
With people being appointed and replaced. It was, I've never seen an administration so volatile, but, he would pick a man or woman that he thought was great for the job, someone he considered a patriot, a stand-up guy, stand-up gal, only to find out they were another member of the deep state that had covered their tracks so well. The president has a track record of replacing people immediately as they need to be. Now, the head of the FBI is obviously a very high-level position on one hand, on the other. Given the president's previous track record, I believe he'll replace Christopher Wray in a heartbeat if he feels it's necessary. And hopefully he'll have a good patriot who will be ready to replace Christopher Wray if it comes down to it.
What kind of a cabinet or what kind of a structure do you and your sources see President Trump second term? Or more importantly, or equally important or more importantly, what do you see President Trump accomplishing in a second term now? Again, I know that's calls for speculation. We're, 38 days away from Election Day and longer from Inauguration Day.
Well,
and fights are coming, but.
It's been said that COVID will end the day after the election, which I think is true. The COVID will be over. The Democrats will no longer have a reason to shut down the economy. The economy will come roaring back. The president will continue to withdraw from Afghanistan, whatever left in Iraq, out of those two countries and not get us involved in future wars. He will continue to make more federal judge appointments and continue to eliminate tens of thousands of regulations from the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, which is a massive impediment to U.S. businesses being successful. And that's not talked about very much, but the CFR has a lot to do with what happens in this country, and violating it is similar to violating a law. There's heavy fines involved. You don't go to jail for violating CFR necessarily, but the tens of thousands of pages of regulations that he's eliminating is what's allowing him to help the economy surge back. The businesses don't necessarily need help from the government. They need the government to get out of the way is what businesses need. And needless regulation, over-regulation, has been one of the big reasons that companies have been leaving this country is to find a business-friendly environment in another country. But that's changing, and changing dramatically. So I think those things will continue, Doug. The culture war continues also. Once the president knows he'll never face election again, the gloves come off with the culture war. We have a lot of things that have been done the last number of years, 40-plus years, with abortion, for example, men marrying men, women marrying women, bizarre, crazy stuff that made us the laughing stock of the world, having women in charge of combat Marines, having women in charge of combat infantry. I know some of these women. They're great gals. They're patriotic. They want to do their duty. But a woman can't lead a man in combat. That just can't be done. It's foolish to believe otherwise. It really is. And our soldiers, they go to these, there's conferences for soldiers around the world. And our NATO, 20-something NATO countries, they get together for a conference. And our senior enlisted personnel and our company grade and field grade officers, they're humiliated. They're made fun of by the soldiers of all the other countries for what we're doing to our military, putting women in harm's way with intent. People bring up what Israel did. Israel did that in the late 1940s because they had no choice. They were fighting for their lives. There's lots of women in Israeli military, and they keep them as far away from combat as they can. And most of them are pretty attractive, by the way. But they keep their women safe, and that's what we do in Western civilization. We fight to keep our women safe from harm. General Wainwright, in charge of Corregidor, he surrendered because they had 300 or 400 nurses in those caves. If it wasn't for that, he would not have surrendered to the Japanese. But the fear of the time was that Japanese tanks would get inside those caves, man-made caves and natural caves in Corregidor, and just have those nurses, be combat victims.
I wasn't aware of that. So you're telling me that because of the female presence at that time.
At Corregidor.
At Corregidor.
Right. Right. That's why he surrendered. That's what he wrote in his, General Wainwright wrote an autobiography, on what happened at Corregidor in the Philippines. And that's what he said. Mm-hmm. He said, I gave the order to surrender because I didn't want these nurses to be hurt. Now, they did their best to keep the nurses from being hurt. And in fact, as barbaric as the Japanese were, they actually did treat the American nurses with deference and respect, as opposed to the men on the Bataan Death March. Hmm. They didn't force women to do that.
Well, yippee. I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I dated the daughter of a man who was in the Bataan Death March. He was a Filipino soldier.
Oh, man.
And at the time in 1968, he was, he'd become an American soldier and was a drill instructor at Fort Bragg. And he would march his soldiers with fixed bayonets and no scabbards on the bayonets. I've never seen a drill sergeant ever do that anyplace, but he did. If you graduated from his basic training outfit, you were a warrior. And needless to say, I treated his daughter with the utmost of respect.
For a couple of reasons, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. Something you had mentioned here. People aren't seeing this, and since we mentioned the Supreme Court, I wanted to just remind people that to date, President Trump has nominated and seated, had confirmed 218 Article III judges, constitutional judges, federal judges, 53 appellate judges in the federal court system, as well as 161 district court judges. So that's a big deal.
It is.
And you mentioned
Valerie Jarrett was asleep at the wheel. They assumed that Hillary would become president and Hillary would make all those appointments.
Yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg assumed that Hillary would be president and she could finish out her life as a Supreme Court justice with no worries. Those assumptions were wrong. Valerie Jarrett doing the work of picking these nominees. They didn't do it because of their assumption that Hillary would be president and they would have plenty of time to appoint all the federal judges they wanted, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg could live out her life doing the dastardly things that she did with her opinions that she wrote. No worries, mate, that we got it covered. Hillary will be president, and life will be grand. It didn't work out that way, though, did it?
No. Which is favorable, of course, to the Constitution and favorable for us, given the fact that we are looking at a likely, second-term scenario and additional appointments. By the way, the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, just in the environmental rule book alone, in that section alone, 100, count them, 100 environmental rules have been backed off or are in the process. Actually, 68 have been completed, 32 in progress. Very oppressive to businesses. Yet, so there you have it there, that President Trump has advanced allowed the advancement of business to progress without the oppressive environmental rules. And that's not destroying our environment. That's just common sense stuff, because you got Newsom out there saying, oh, 2035, we're not going to have any internal combustion engines. They're not going to sell any vehicles.
Actually, California floated that idea 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it didn't work then.
It didn't work then.
No.
No.
It's
not going to work then.
Yeah.
No. No. The entire premise is based on sham science and fiction that human beings can change the climate of the world. That's an absolute fantasy. And since we have new listeners every week, it's worth mentioning. I know our listeners, they get into discussions with people who believe, for example, that when the president left the Paris Climate Accord, that was awful. that we can't save the planet now. But here's the deal. You can find a copy of it on the internet and print it out. It's about 19 or 20 pages. And you'll find when you print out the Paris Climate Accord that Russia, disregard, that China and India get to make all the CO2 greenhouse gases they want to. You can't have it both ways, Doug.
No.
It can't be a clear and present danger, human activity, to everything on the planet on one hand, and allow 5 out of 7 people on the planet, which is China and India, to make all the CO2 greenhouses, the gases that they want to. You can't have it both ways. Either it's clear and present danger and everybody has to stop, or it's not. There's no in-between, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the climate accord itself, the agreement itself, is the smoking gun evidence that the whole thing's a sham. And almost nobody's read this thing. Almost no one.
Well, that goes back. I mean, the climate accords, Paris climate, the treaty that we backed out of, President Trump backed or canceled our participation in, which, oh my goodness, everyone had a fit about that. Like you said,
we're all going to die. Right. We got 9 years to live.
I just keep thinking of Trudeau up there. Yeah. Yeah. How crazy is this? So,
and a teenage girl from Scandinavia is telling us all how to live, right?
Yeah. How dare you? I should
and
be she, in school.
And her outrage, and her belligerence and her outrage that we're not changing everything we do and stopping who we are. She's outraged.
Yeah. I wonder how much, you know, who's behind her?
Well, there's obviously, you know, the media. Mass media glammed onto her and just haven't let go, and she's certainly doing her part. I don't know anything about the girl. She's, you know, she probably honestly believes the silliness that she puts out, but she's a teenage girl putting out a bunch of silliness and a bunch of fiction is all she is.
How dare you, John? That's my favorite line from Greta Thunberg. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't talk, first of all, don't talk to me like that, young lady. And second of all, what I said earlier. So anyway, yeah. Jeez, I'll tell you. Okay. Debate tomorrow. Thoughts on that? Got it.
Well, I'm looking forward to Joe Biden making an absolute fool of himself. I don't believe he can help but make. They're going to try to structure it so he doesn't make a fool of himself. Chris Wallace, I believe, is the moderator.
Yeah.
Well,
they know the topics already, so.
Of course I do. You know, you and I know the topics. That's not an issue. But for Joe Biden to speak 2 or 3 sentences in a row coherently, that'll be a challenge for the man.
It's a challenge for me most days, but. You know,
not nearly what it is for Joe Biden.
Having seen the recent videos of him, and he's actually in hiding now. I think he went this morning or yesterday morning. I don't know, last night or this morning, but he's not in hiding, in preparation for the, debates. I'll tell you what, folks, watch the debates. You know, you can watch this show later, in the evening and, you know, just watch the debates because I can't wait to see what,
they're probably pumping him up with, he's probably living in an environment with maybe, 20 or 30% oxygen. The normal oxygen level in there is probably about 17-18%. So much higher oxygen content, giving him supplements, vitamin mineral supplements to try to improve his brain as best they can. Anything and everything that will help this man just gain some cognitive ability. That's what he needs.
Well, and he refused the drug test. You know that.
Well,
I mean,
it doesn't surprise me. I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But, they won't be successful. His cognitive abilities are just gone and, increased levels of oxygen, and they may give him a little amphetamine to make him maybe a little more on top of it, just a little bit of amphetamine
something
at the last
like
moment.
Yeah.
But it won't work. It won't work. The man's brain is just too far gone. It's not like trying to, you know, if I want to pick up an extra 5 points on an IQ test, I'll get up a little early. I'll have a great breakfast and a drink of coffee and then take that IQ test as early as I can. And maybe I'll pick up 5 points. But he's past that point. He's past it. He really is.
Come on, man. He's been in Congress for 180 years. He's been a senator for 180 years, to quote him. Come on, man. Yeah, you know the thing. Okay. Yeah. China. Threat right now. EMP. Thoughts? Thoughts on that? EMP. One of the former directors.
Well, it's not just China. North Korea has two satellites on a polar orbit that go over the Midwest every 12 hours. The former director of the CIA says that they have nuclear weapons on board. When it comes to this question, Doug, I look at what do they want to accomplish as opposed to what weapons do they have? And they aren't necessarily the same. I'll tell you what China wants and why they won't use nationwide EMP. China wants to conquer the United States. And what do they want? They want a power grid that works, water treatment plants, sewage treatment plants that work, telecommunications that work, locks and dams, railroads, airports that work, factories that function, oil refineries that function. Nationwide EMP would wreck that for years for the following reason. Everything you need to fix what's broken is also broken. That's how complex that matter is. Now, that said, there's much smaller EMP devices that may take out 1 square mile. Now, that's a lot more doable. When you want to knock out command and control of our military, that becomes real doable to knock out command and control with small EMP devices to accomplish the goal of conquering the United States. I believe they would use nationwide EMP if they knew they were losing. And just as a doomsday device, so to speak, they would initiate nationwide EMP. It would take anywhere from 1 to 4, maybe one really big one over Kansas, or maybe one for each time zone, depending on the size of the devices. That would be a doomsday weapon when they knew they were losing. Otherwise, if they use EMPs at all, my belief is that they would cause damage instruction to command and control so they could conquer our country and have what they want, mines, factories, farms, and everything else in working order, not wiped out. You know, just take an oil refinery. You knock out an oil refinery with EMP, 3 to 5 years to get that thing working again. Because these modern facilities like that are just filled top to bottom with microcircuits and computers.
Yep.
So it's a threat. It's a real threat. It's nothing to be taken lightly.
No. And I think you're more accurate. The way I look at things is, with respect to EMPs, yeah, they're going to want to take as much of the United States intact as they can. And when you start messing around with a massive EMP, you're going to be fixing stuff for the next, I don't care if I don't care if the stuff is made in China, you are China and you're here. It's going to be a cluster, it's just going to be a mess.
Keep it clean, Doug.
Yeah. I'm having trouble. See, I'm, come on, man.
Yeah, I heard the first word cluster,
Well, it is going to be a cluster. Yeah, it really would be, it would be.
It would be. It would be a nightmare.
And I go back to, and John, I just think that movie Red Dawn too, the original Red Dawn.
Well, it's two versions.
The original.
Right. I watched that. That came from my show earlier today. I saw it in the movie theater with the team sergeant from my special forces team and our team commo sergeant, and my wife was there. And watching in a movie theater takes on a whole new significance. Early in the movie, one of the characters named Robert, he's in their little hideout, sawing the barrel off a 12-gauge shotgun. And Doug, the audience broke out in spontaneous applause.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're watching it at home, you won't know that ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a movie theater I saw the American spirit come to the surface spontaneously. The audience, and this is in St. Louis County, Missouri, Kirkwood, a little theater in Kirkwood, Missouri, where I lived. The audience spontaneously erupted in applause. And that rarely happens in a movie theater. I've seen it happen a number of times. But that tells me the American spirit is alive and well when that took place. Now, I like, many people only like one of the, I like both versions of Red Dawn for different reasons. But they both have value, and I do recommend people watch both films.
If I can get a little personal here and maybe off topic, why do you like both versions? Because I thought the second or the latest version, and maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought that was the producers or whatever succumbed to pressures of.
Well, they did. Thanks to digital technology, the second version of Red Dawn had the aggressors being Communist China. Communist China apparently put enough pressure on the filmmakers, financial pressure, I'm sure, to change with digital technology, to change all the bad guys from being Chinese to Korean.
Right.
And that did, in fact, happen. You're right. Right.
So, you know, I look at that and I thought, okay, if they compromised in that, you know, in that respect, I don't know. That got me off on a bad start on that movie. Whereas the first one had the Chinese sitting it out, if I recall correctly.
Well, they played no direct role in the film that we could see. One of the things, you know, in the first Red Dawn, there was reference to Green Berets coming to help the rebels. In the second movie, the Green Berets actually did show up to help the rebels. Old Green Berets, old retired guys, by the way, not the young guys. And I kind of like that.
You can relate, right?
I can relate.
Can you see that happening? Because you talk with Dave Hodges, you talk with Mike Adams, you talk with others, and of course, your own analysis. Do you see the lines being drawn similar to, I mean, could that happen here? We take on ourselves, shoot ourselves in the foot because we're infighting, and then, you know.
Well, another friend of mine, Steve Ben Noon, who was a former CIA field agent, he says that the communist plan is to have the communist insurrection get to the point where we Americans waste our ammunition on each other before the actual, enemy invasion begins. And that enemy invasion would be characterized as our friends from across the sea helping us to restore order. That's how it'll be promoted initially when it's actually an invasion of foreign forces.
Oh, man.
Now, I've been saying that for years, Doug. This is nothing new.
No, I know. And folks, go to the libertyman.com and you'll see his writings and, you'll see a lot of, staple items there. I'll just leave it at that, and you can find those staple items. Now I think back to the interview with Yuri Bezmenov, and back in '84, or whenever that was,
right,
and,
in mid-'80s, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I look at that. My
Wednesday guest, Jeff Nyquist, he's personally interviewed. He sat down across the interview table from a number of these high-level KGB, FSU. Defectors, which is something, it's a pretty short list of people who've actually done that. But he has. And, Jeff Nyquist has written a number of books. He's on with me every Wednesday talking about the true nature of the communist insurgency, the communist threat, and eventually the communist, invasion of our country. Now Dave Hodges has information that they're already here. I've personally become aware of Russians being here in this country, pretending to be Americans, by the way, waiting for the signal to be activated. And when I say be activated, they probably would do high-level assassinations of mayors, governors, chiefs of police, fire chiefs, principals of schools, pastors of big churches, to cut the head off of anybody who had any leadership authority once the invasion got going. That's one of the things that they do, Doug.
Well, how about this? And I'd ask the folks out there to consider this, because I've seen this as well. you have a crisis with the election, or when I say crisis, I'm talking about a manufactured crisis by the left saying, it was unfair, or something to do with a manufactured crisis by the left. That includes the real, it would include the real issue of voter fraud through mail-ins and such, ballots and such. Okay, so you ever see a time when that would require, you know, a foreign element like the UN to come in and to
we have a process. We went through this when Al Gore was running for president. And that process to have the Supreme Court make a decision. That is our process.
True.
So I don't see any foreign entity having a role in that whatsoever. What I see in foreign entities doing would be coming into a place like Washington State, Oregon, California to restore order when things are so out of control they need to be restored, possibly New York City, maybe Chicago. We've already seen some inklings of that with Chicago as well, going back a couple, two, 3 years. That's where I see foreign forces being used openly. There's already foreign forces here covertly.
Yeah.
And that's a major concern of mine, is the covert foreign forces already on our soil.
And I think embedded in strategic locations and jobs and such. You know, that was one of the things, John, that when I was looking at Jamaat al-Fuqara in the Islamic paramilitary training camps, they're located around areas of vital infrastructure, such as power plants and reservoirs and such. And people were just amazed at the fact that, hey, for example, the headquarters at that time, which was in the base of the Catskills in New York, was in Hancock, New York, was in fact very close to the reservoir that supplied New York City with her water. So,
right.
Yeah. So I see this as a problem.
For many years, Doug, there's been multiple reports of Muslims photographing critical infrastructure, being caught with 100 cell phones, for example, that could be used to fabricate improvised explosive devices. That's been going on for many years, yeah. For 20 years at least, these Muslims being caught doing things that can only be characterized as preparing for damaging and destroying property and lives. That's the only thing they could be characterized as, Doug.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. All right. Well, we got about 15 minutes left of the show. So, what haven't we addressed? I mean, look, you did make mention that we're fighting a spiritual war, and I think people need to really drive that home. The preparations, of course, we talk about that all the time. And I think people need, I mean, I think, and I don't know, unless I'm missing something there. So, I mean, what else do we need to really kind of set our sights on that?
Well, we got a few days for people to get registered to vote. In my venue where I live, state of Missouri, is October the 7th.
Yep.
It's going to vary from venue to venue. We've talked about this before. It's not, in most areas, it's not too late to get registered to vote. Yes, your vote does count. Yes, it is important. And it's your patriotic duty as an American to both register to vote and actually go to the polls. It's not optional. And these votes, every vote has meaning. Every vote counts, and it's foolish to believe otherwise. Do your duty, get registered to vote, get to the polls on voting day, election day, and make that vote. If you can't get there, go to the county seat, do an absentee ballot, vote beforehand. Whatever it takes. If you have friends or neighbors or relatives that need a ride or need daycare, do whatever it takes to help these people get to the polls and vote. It's very disappointing, Doug, how many conservative Christians are not even registered to vote, and many of the ones who are registered to vote don't take the time and don't bother to do it. It's very disturbing, but that's reality. And anything we can do, Doug, to change that, to increase our numbers while we still can. And I say while we still can because the demographics 10 or 15 years in the future are not in our favor for conservative Christians. They really aren't. But we still have the numbers. For the time being, we need to take advantage of that and hopefully help reverse this process, Doug.
Yeah, yeah. For those interested, vote.org. Now, I haven't spent a lot of time on this site, but vote.org does have voter registration deadlines. So in other words, I mean, they've got a graph, but you can select your state and it gives you voter registration deadlines and election day registration, if it's available or not. And, it has all of the states listed. So, for example, let's see here, my state, Pennsylvania. If you're listening to us in Pennsylvania, folks, it is, I just closed that down. There it is. 15 days, okay, so, last voter registration, 15 days before election day. So you've got 15 days before election day to register to vote. Same thing if you register by mail. It's got to be received 15 days before election day. And online, again, 15 days before election day. There is no election day registration, unlike, for example, Rhode Island or California, with some restrictions. So there you go. So that's
I'm at that website, and everything you need is right there. Somebody mentioned it on my show today. 35 days, 12 hours, and 13 minutes until the polls open up. Countdown.
You know what? Should we should sign up to be poll watchers. I'm thinking that. Shouldn't we? I'm liking that idea. I think that Christian conservatives should do that.
I'm a Republican committeeman, so I don't believe I can be a poll watcher. I really haven't looked into it. I have other responsibilities as a Republican committeeman, and I'm also the commander of the American Legion Post, where our polling takes place here in my community. And I have to make sure the poll workers have everything they need to make it be a smooth day. So I got a full plate. But when it comes to election day, but if you don't, by all means, sign up to be a poll watcher. That's an important position also. Or a poll worker, either one. You can't be both. You can be a poll worker, and sometimes we have shortages of poll workers also. People get sick and so forth and need a replacement. So I would encourage people to consider doing one or the other, being a poll worker or a poll watcher. Now, a poll watcher is a person registered to be part of the system, and their job is to be at the polling place and make sure that everything is going the way it should, that there's no electioneering taking place inside the polling place. There's nobody telling people how to vote or helping them vote, things are being run properly and ethically inside the polling place where they're a poll watcher. And it's an important job, Doug, and we need people to do that.
Yeah, just to be clear, because of your position, I'll ask you, you can't even wear like a MAGA hat or,
No electioneering.
Nothing on your body.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I think within our jurisdiction, within 25 feet of the front door of the polling place.
Okay. That's the same, I believe,
maybe 50 feet, whatever it is. It's a certain footage. And all the people that are electioneering, they stay out on the other side of the parking lot, and that's fine. They have a role also to, make a last minute influence on the voters as they walk in the door.
Yeah. Now I know we're going to be doing shows before election day, but, as we get closer to election day, do you think we're going to see things like, I don't know. Remember back, was it 08 that the Black Panthers, new Black Panthers were at one of the,
I'm not sure how many polling places they were at. They have a rather intimidating presence, to say the least. And I don't know what effect, if any, they had on the voting taking place at that polling place, or if there's more than one polling place. But, and I don't recall the year either. It was 08 or 2010 or 2012.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought it was 08, though.
They did have a presence. You're right. All right.
Yeah.
They've become, the original Black Panthers were basically communists, but now they're mostly Muslims.
Good to know. By the way, 500 New York City police officers have been injured over the last 100 days, in case you didn't know that. That's just in New York City. And over the weekend, I think 49 shootings, one stabbing of an 8-year-old girl, just as an FYI. These are your blue cities, your socialist, communist utopias. Just as an FYI, and that does not include all of the violence that's, what, 120-some days in Portland, and Seattle has had their problems as well. So what's your take on, you think that's going to just kind of, are they going to regroup before Election Day in Portland, or what do you think is going to happen there? And also, are they going to move to D.C. in like on or about October 22nd to protest Barrett, the Barrett nomination?
Well, there'll be protests. That's a given. They're not going to accomplish anything, though. There'll be a presence and there'll be a protest. I'm looking more for them to get really active the day after the election. I think they may have given up trying to do anything before the election as being a non-issue that won't accomplish their goals. But I think all bets are off and the gloves come off the day after the election, Doug. That's my belief based on what I know at the moment.
Got it. Okay. All right. Anything else that we haven't covered? I know that we got a lot of, we covered a lot of ground, but, anything else that we haven't covered?
Well, we usually do, Doug. And, we can't overlook or neglect at every point, every step of the way, encouraging people to register to vote, encouraging them to get to the polls, to help friends and neighbors get registered to vote, for them to get to the polls. We need to overcome the vote fraud, which will be the worst vote fraud in the history of this country, most likely. We need overwhelming numbers for the president to overcome the vote fraud, to make it a landslide victory for President Trump that can't be disputed, that can't be argued with. That's why we need to keep encouraging people to register to vote, help their friends and neighbors register to vote, encourage them to get to the polls or vote absentee, and whatever it takes to get the overwhelming numbers to give the president what he needs from us. What the president needs from us is a mandate in the form of a over-the-top numbers for the President Trump, a landslide victory.
Yeah, that's the only way that
he needs it.
Yeah.
He needs a landslide victory, not something marginal, not something close. He needs a landslide victory.
No, I think you're right. I think that's the only way that that's going to prevent what I see taking place or what could very well take place. And then, of course, you know, you've got Pelosi as a kind of an outlier there saying, okay, we can't allow this. We have to make sure all votes are counted. And, you know, it's just,
oh yeah.
So yeah, we've got to turn out in such numbers. And I agree with you on that, that there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever of any kind of issues whatsoever.
Right. All right. That's what we need. Yeah, that's exactly right. What we need. And everybody can do this. Everybody can do it.
Yeah. Well, you've done it, my friend. You've taken us all the way through another program. A lot of stuff, a lot of ground covered, a lot of things talked about. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, sir. Yep.
You take care of yourself. Now, you've got, again, your program is 3 hours per day. 5 days a week, right?
3 hours a day, Republic Broadcasting, everything's accessible from thelibertyman.com. Don't use your search engine, use your browser, thelibertyman.com. If you use a search engine, you'll end up someplace you don't want to be.
All right, sounds good. And look forward to talking with you next week and then, of course, listening to you tomorrow. All right? Appreciate
you. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thanks, man. Folks, that was John Moore. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Appreciate his time. We're about out of time. I don't know whether you saw this in closing, and I mistook. Is that a word? Mistook? I mistook. Come on, man. I've been doing this 180 years. I made a mistake here on my program clock, and I apologize to John for that. But I don't know whether you saw this. A Louisville man. Okay, think the protests there was offered, a Louisville man offered to kill police officers in exchange for $30,000. Eric the Tech, did you see this? How ridiculous this was? No? Okay. Okay, just very, very quickly here. Now this is kind of one of those stories that really doesn't mean a whole lot in the aggregate, but it's just when you look at it, you look at people losing their minds. Guy's got this huge criminal record. So what he did was, he solicited through a Facebook Live video. Let me read this. A Louisville man with a lengthy criminal record was arrested after allegedly threatening to kill police officers in exchange for cash during a Facebook Live video. Okay. Simple as that. The USDA's office, district attorney's office in the Western District of Kentucky announced Sunday that Cortez Lamont Edwards, this 29-year-old guy, so you should know better, was charged with felon possession of a firearm after authorities began to investigate threats he allegedly made during live video. What he did was he said, hey, toss me 30 grand. Okay. And I'll kill a member of the Louisville Metro Police Department. I'm saying Louisville wrong, I'm sure. That was working outside of his home this past Wednesday. You can't say that apparently on Facebook. You can say a whole lot of other things, but apparently even Facebook has standards. But I thought that was interesting. So when we look at this, and again, in the aggregate, that really doesn't mean a whole lot because that's just one guy with one. I mean, you know, you're not normal if you do that. But what we're seeing is a whole lot more not normals, if you get my drift. And that was something I wanted to comment on. But again, tomorrow night, the presidential debates, don't forget. President Trump called on Joe Biden, drug test for Sleepy Joe. And I want to know, do you think that's a good idea? Does that set a precedent that we don't really necessarily want to have? I don't have a problem with that personally. I mean, if you want to test for drugs, I think it's important. I mean, I'm okay with that, but, it's something that is making the news now. And lastly, as I close out the program, again, folks, New York Times talking about the President Trump's tax returns. By the way, President Trump paid $36 million, I think it was, in 2005. Clearly, the New York Times and others don't understand the structure of business and asset appreciation, depreciation, and such. But anyway, look at Joe Biden. You talk about being compromised. Joe Biden is compromised by his family's shady foreign dealings. If you go to the Washington Examiner, you can read all about it, where a Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Finance, they raised some extremely critical questions about this unethical behavior, this unethical foreign profiteering by members of the Biden family. This during his time when he was with Obama and he was vice president. And again, this is a reference to Hunter receiving just an incredible amount of money from foreign entities, including China. And look at others in the Congress who have collected or made money from China. Peter Schweitzer did this wonderful book, Secret Empires. And he took no prisoners, right, left, in the middle. It didn't matter. I mean, he went in and he explained how, for example, 535 members of Congress were, you know, 435 and 100 senators and 435 on the House were actually, you know, making money through lobbyists and through shell corporations and such. So. Secret Empires is a great book. And by the way, that book also gets into the foreign influence and foreign powers as opposed to some of the stuff you see today, which is just garbage. So having said all of that, where the New York Times is trying to say President Trump paid only $750 in taxes, which is a bunch of baloney. In fact, the issue is, money that's, and by the way, oh, did you, You didn't hear them say, well, he was receiving money from foreign entities, did you? No, that's on the Biden side. So if the issue with President Trump is tax avoidance, even if that is the issue, tax avoidance, look at the other side, and you can see money being made from foreign powers. Which is worse, legal tax avoidance or income being received from foreign powers? I would say the latter, not the former. Yet no one's talking about that. All right, folks. Have a great night. Look forward to tomorrow. Stan Dale on tomorrow. Wisconsin Christian News. Don't forget about them, wisconsinchristiannews.com. God bless. Good night.